for about the 1,000,000th time, there's a reason I do not live in a hurricane zone, man. Oh, my goodness. Good afternoon. The Matt McNeil Show for today. Matt, Brett here today. I don't know, have you seen any of the footage? About 11:45 or so, the eye wall came across between Panama City and Mexico Beach. Mexico Beach and Port St. John got the worst of it. They basically have been, it looks like they've been scoured clean. And that's a fast moving, I think that storm's already into Georgia now.
It's moved. I haven't even watched the news because I thought it wasn't supposed to impact till like tonight.
It was supposed to hit midday today. And yeah, just it was almost a category 5 when it hit. I mean, it just kept growing and growing and growing. And I don't know the science of it, but they say that in the overnights, hurricanes actually grow more. I remember they were saying, oh, it looks like the eye wall was collapsing, which actually was not good. That meant it was about to strengthen. And now it looked nasty. And yeah. I said this before. I mean, occasionally you get that big tornado. Remember that tornado that hit Oklahoma a few years back? That one went for a long time, did a lot of damage over a swath. But really, the primary core of damage on a tornado is about 300 yards in any given direction. And that's a big one. Most of the time, it's 50 yards in this. Hurricanes, there's hundreds of miles of coastline that have just been, they're out of power, wiped out. And they might not be scoured clean, but they've got basically a foot of water and everything. And most of the buildings have got some sort of damage to them. It's
mostly
insane.
The rain that causes the problem with those. I mean, the wind is bad, but just the rain and the flooding piles up and destroys so much.
It is nasty. So all our best to anyone down there. It looks the Weather Channel, they got to stop putting those people through that, man. I mean, they're just cruel to their hosts. Outside of the one guy just loves it. He's like Lieutenant Dan strapped to the mast out there. The rest of them are. The rest of them are like, I'm here and I really don't like this.
Who's crazier, those guys or the tornado chasers?
I think those guys are, because it's such a large swath of, I mean, it could change in a heartbeat and all of a sudden they're looking at the worst of it. So all my best. Get those guys out of there. I think we're fine and hopefully we don't have too much damage down there. Our Democrat of the day, this is an important one, folks. We have a ton of House races. We've talked about the House races. We've talked about the statewide races. But we have one Senate race that is going on. Michelle Fischbach has resigned her seat. Of course, she became the lieutenant governor through a quirk in the Constitution. And henceforth, her seat's open. That's Senate District 13. And if the Democrats win this seat, the Democrats gain control of the Minnesota Senate. It's a big race. Joe Persky is joining us. He's the DFL endorsed candidate. He is kind enough to take some time to talk about his campaign. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for the time. I imagine this has been a pretty high spotlight race for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, energy-wise, it certainly has. I'll tell you, from the time it's dark in the morning till the time it's dark at night, and then even sometime later, it's just go, 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 always something. There seems always something to do, an email, a phone call, door knocking, and it's been a true marathon.
Well, and this is, once again, this is a big seat. As of right now, Republicans are in trouble in this country and in the state of Minnesota. I mean, there's a lot of House races, especially metro area House races, where Republicans hold the seat. And especially after the Kavanaugh debacle, suburban women are running away from the Republican Party right now. It looks like the Democrats have a chance at picking back up the Minnesota House. But if Tim Walz is to win the governorship and the Minnesota House goes to the DFL, then you were to win in this seat, then we technically would have a Democratic leadership in all the houses of the bodies here, and we'd actually be able to get some stuff done as opposed to what the Republicans have been doing for the last 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if you're much familiar with the Senate 13 district, but the DFL came to me and asked me to run. Presently, I'm a county commissioner. Before that time, I was the mayor of Sartell, and time before that, I was actually on the council for 6 years. So I do come with some experience, as well as being a teacher up in Sartell for 26 years and a teacher for 37 years.
And you got good, and I will say this, buckling your campaign are some good House races as well. Jim Reed, we actually did talk to him as Democrat of the Day a few weeks back. He's a great candidate. So 13A is looking like they're being, got a chance for that DFL pickup there. Heidi Everett, we have not been able to get her on yet, but obviously I'm hearing a lot of good things about her as well. So with the three of you running in 13, this could be a year where, the Democrats, the DFL, really does do some surprises, and we end up taking the Senate as well.
Yeah, that could very well be true. I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing in the door knocking. I'll tell you what, I've been doing quite a bit of door knocking for the last 4.5-5 months. Just basically all of Painesville, Cold Spring, Richmond, Holdingfort, St. Stephen, up and down that Highway 23 corridor, as well as Sauk Rapids, Sartell. And I'll tell you what, the response has been very positive.
We should mention 13, for layman's terms, is basically west, south, and kind of northwest of St. Cloud. Is that a good way to say it?
That's, well, you could say that. I'll just tell you, Sauk Rapids and Sartell, and then on the west side of St. Cloud, going from St. Joe, and then follow that Highway 23 corridor down to Painesville, mm-hmm. but then also go north up to Holdingfort and down south to Kimball. So it's a pretty good piece of property.
How has it been? I mean, we've talked, I got to tell you, the truth is we've talked to some statewide races, and obviously it's a different kind of campaign. They're running on a statewide race. The House races, you know, they've got a lot of distance to cover, but you've got this entire district. Have you been able to get out there? As you talked about door knocking, have you been able to get into pretty much most of the communities and get representation from your campaign out there to talk to the people?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned, I knocked all those doors in those communities I've mentioned, and then including 13 days up in Sauk Rapids. I've got half of St. Joe done, and I'm going to finish in Sartell. And otherwise, I've been to just about every door. And if people look around those communities, they're going to see a lot of Persky signs, because mm-hmm. those are contacts that I've met, and those people believe in me. So it's been one heck of a trip so far. Also, all the parades, as far as shaking hands and getting out there and passing out stickers and having conversations with people, it's been a pretty intense campaign.
Let's, for everyone out there who's listening right now, why don't we just get a little bit of a background on who exactly is Joe Persky?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and one thing that was going on here is that the makeup of the district is relatively conservative. It's been quite a while since we've had any representation from the Democratic side. And so the DFL came to me and said, Persky, do you want to run? And I said, well, I'll tell you what, it's not the best time in my life. My mom is 98 years old, and my daughter just had triplets. And, you know, there's those family issues there too. And, you know, those were concerning for me whether or not I should get involved with the race. But on the other side, I'll tell you what, I'm so frustrated with the legislature by, like, so many Minnesotans. You know, they fight like cats and dogs down there. You know, they go after each other, almost like the Vikings and the Packers when they put those jerseys on. And that's just not something I did as a commissioner or what I did as a mayor. My focus has always been on people and been on the issues. And people that know me, they know that, yeah, again, I'm not necessarily a party person. Mm-hmm. I'm a people person, and that's what I hope to necessarily bring down there. And I've told the DFL when they asked me to run, I said, you know what, we've got some huge issues in front of us, and we've got to make sure we move these things forward. And I'll tell you what, a bridge or a road isn't Democrat or Republican. And you know what, a health care plan shouldn't be Democrat or Republican either. If we go down to the state fair and we walk through there, you know, we see tens of thousands of people. Can you tell me which one doesn't need health care? Every person we see down there needs a health care plan. Mm-hmm. So let's just come forward and say, do we want health care for some or health care for all? And so to me, it's health care for all. So let's get that done.
I understand, and I've talked to a lot of people, and they always say the partisan bickering is kind of the problem. But I always like to point out to people this. There was a ton. Let's take Omnibus Prime. There was a ton in that bill that had pretty much universal support. Republicans, Democrats were there, and the Republican leadership, and I understand partisan stuff, and people are hesitant to do this, but we need to call the goat a goat. And the Republicans basically held hostage tons of pieces of legislation that had the majority of the House on board, majority of the Senate on board, Governor Dayton was willing to sign, and they held that aside basically to try to push forward this extreme far-right agenda, which they knew wasn't going to happen.
Absolutely. And even, you know, by statute, that's not supposed to be happening.
Yep.
And again, that's from my perspective as a commissioner and as a mayor, get that good legislation done. Those things should stand on their own merits, pass, get them done. And the things we don't agree on, Let's work and find compromise. If we find compromise, we'll pass those too. But I'll tell you what, if we don't find compromise, let's leave them on the shelf because they're not good for Minnesota.
The Republicans, you brought up health care. Let's get into this issue because this is an issue that the Republicans can't win even in the most conservative districts. And the reason why is they have promised for how many years now, repeal and replace Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. They've also said that Trump ran on, you know, numerous times saying you're going to get better health care that's less expensive. Today, Donald Trump actually, he basically put down the fact that he'll veto a bill that has anything in it that, you know, saves people that have pre-existing conditions. So, you know, this whole argument that he's going to give you health care is crazy. The Republicans, you can see that they're desperate to keep 13. They're sending in every Republican from the state into campaign in that district. The reality is they don't have an answer for health care because the reality is they want to go back to the time when the options were bankruptcy or death.
Yeah. And I'm hearing the struggles from people at the door. And I mean, premiums continue to go up, deductibles continue to go up, pharmaceuticals continue to go up. I ran into a carpenter down in Pearl Lake paying $1,200 a month with a $6,000 deductible. He's into it for $20,000. $20,000. That's the worst case scenario, I guess, that I've heard. And to me, it's unfathomable. And we, you know what? We've been kicking this healthcare thing down the road for the last couple of decades. And it's time we sit back and we say, hey, it's time to make the decision. How are we going to really resolve this? Let's have some open, honest dialogue. But the bottom line is, if you want to make it competitive, the insurance companies, they don't want the one with diabetes. They don't want the one with the tumor. They don't want the woman with breast cancer. They can't make money off those people. And so they want to exclude them. That doesn't make healthcare for all.
No, it doesn't. And we started trying to solve the problem. And once again, I mean, there were legitimate people that said, wait a minute here, my health care plan went away. Well, yeah, your health care plan went away because it was a garbage plan that didn't really cover you. And they were made illegal. So, yeah, you know, those.
Right. And there, too, is looking for honest solutions. You know, the option of saying, well, let's go buy, you know, insurance from out of state. So, OK, let's get a $179 plan a month out of Alabama. And yeah. So now you submit that claim and okay, you call the 800 number. The claim hasn't been settled. They say, try to, you know, contact the attorney general from Alabama and get that claim settled. It's just not going to happen. We need to make sure that we have control and that, you know, people's needs are being met.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. You're the first person to bring that up. The one of the Republicans' main strategies is these out-state plans where in a state where they can basically, they have a bought and paid for government, which will allow that healthcare company to offer trash policies that don't cover anything, not even a flu shot. That is not a solution because once again, your kid gets sick and God forbid they get sick with a serious problem. You are going to do everything in your power to try to save your child. You don't want that to be the time you find out that that healthcare policy that you were promised was going to cover something covers nothing.
Right. And very typically, you know, people, you know, see a 30-page document in front of them. They read the first few sentences and then they look where do they sign their name. And so many times they have no idea what they're actually buying. And then you're up to the information perhaps the agent is telling you, and they can, you know, present it the way they want. You know, and yeah. Not the best way to buy insurance.
Once again, Joe Persky is joining us right now. He's the Senate candidate. We got one Senate race in the state, and whoever wins this will have control of the Senate. Senate District 13, he's kind enough to take some time. Broadband, as you talk about health care, and then we can go into 1,000 other different areas. Broadband is the problem, and where one of my arguments of a tent pole of government is that when the private sector fails or refuses to do something for a community, or the charitable organizations or whatever, they can't do it. The government has a role, especially when it's a main infrastructure idea, a water line, mm-hmm. a road, yeah. that they need to step on in and basically supply that. We are at a point where broadband is an infrastructure, as is power, as is water, as is a road. And the fact that we don't have this extensively throughout the entire state is a crime. You talk about healthcare, it would help healthcare, it will help schools and education dramatically, it helps job growth, it keeps jobs in communities, it helps the farmer. I mean, reality here is that Republicans have been promising broadband forever. We could get broadband out there as long as we have the Democratic leadership to get that done.
Yeah, and that's something we've talked extensively in at the county level too, and at my visits to the townships. you know, there are townships in my district here that are hurting and not being able to receive, you know, the broadband that they need for the reasons you just mentioned. And by all means, you know, we can be much better off if we get that broadband out there to them in many different ways. But there, too, one thing I will tell you, I come here looking for solutions. My background, again, as a mayor, as a commissioner, as a council member, even as a school teacher, you know, I never asked a person, you know, when their kids had problems, or is your family Democrat or Republican? Or when somebody comes up to me and, you know, asks me a question to be resolved as the mayor or the commissioner, you know, are you a Democrat or Republican? Good Lord, guys, let's get this these things moving forward. Let's work together. And this, again, going back to this omnibus bill and the idea that, you know, they want to go down there and let me just say, I know there's a lot of good people down there. I've worked with the people in the St. Cloud area, but it just seems that they, again, they put those jerseys on like Vikings and Packers and they draw the line and they just don't want to move it forward because of the color of their jersey. But, I'll tell you what, when I go to the doors, I tell people it's more important for me to focus on the people than focus on the parties. Because if I go back to the roots of the Constitution says we the people and not we the party, and let's get those things done. And again, let's focus on the needs of the people.
Well, and you talk about door knocking. This seems to be one of the big differences this election season around is that in a lot of districts, I've talked to Democrats in every corner of the state, the door knocking, this is the first, there are many people that they're going to their door and they're saying, this is the first Democrat that's shown up in 10 years to knock on my door and talk about their campaign. The Democrats are not afraid to get out there this year. And I think that's a good sign because the Republicans, frankly, are for the most part terrified at going out there and defending their policies and their agenda. And so, you know, have you run into that at all? Have you run into anyone?
Absolutely. So many doors I've come to, people have just said, you know what, you've got my vote because you're the first candidate ever to come to my door and ask me what my opinion was or how I feel or to present yourself and see me and see you live. And they, you know, they'll say, well, you are the guy. You know, they'll say, you're the guy that's on the flyer. You're the guy I see on TV. And they're rather impressed that I'm actually right there at their door, you know, speaking them face to face. Unfortunately, with the sun setting earlier and earlier, it gets a little bit scary around our own bedtime now.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
I don't want to catch people in their jammies either. So,
well, this is a good segue for everyone because obviously then we need to maximize the weekends. And, you know, we want people, help your local Democrat, by all means, help your local Democrat. But if you're in a relatively safe district, take some time, get up to 13. We need people on the ground in 13, door knocking, phone calling, helping out the campaign. If you can make a donation, help Joe out here because 13 is the Senate. And if Joe goes to the Senate, guess what? The DFL controls the Senate. And that would be amazing. Joe, I'm pretty sure you could use some volunteers. So if someone's looking to get information on this, how can they find out more information?
Absolutely. Very simply, Persky for Senate. If you just go Google that, go Persky for Senate, you'll get a link to our website, information there as far as making a contribution or giving us a phone call. And we've got some door knocking times that people can set up, sign up for. And again, the weekends, we're going to be very busy every weekend here down the stretch and always looking forward to talking to people at the doors. And it's very simple. When we go to a door and we talk about people, we talk about jobs, education, healthcare, treating people fairly, then we win because that's meeting the needs of the people.
You got 4 weekends left, people. You want to make this blue wave happen. There's one way you can do it, and that's getting out there and helping out. You got 4 weekends to get on up there and help out in 13. Persky, P-E-R-S-K-E, 4 F-O-R, Senate.com. Persky for Senate. I'll link to everything a little bit later on, Joe. I'm really glad. I'm glad they went and got you to run in this race.
Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe one other thing you do or you don't know about me. And if you take a look at my logo, there's a little runner up there. And I just want you to know that that runner represents a running of over 90,000 miles that I've run. I've run over 100 marathons. And I'm bringing that passion from a couple of Olympic trials, a couple of World Cup races. Even I ran around the Lax Lake. That's the kind of intensity I'm bringing into this campaign as well. And when I focus on issues and I focus on people, I bring that passion into it as well.
You ran around Mille Lacs? Wow. All right.
Well, 62 miles, 7 hours and 37 minutes.
I get winded driving around it. That's me. Joe Persky, thank you very much, Joe. All my best in Senate District 13, and I hope we can see you in St. Paul come next year.
Absolutely. We're in this to win, and it looks like we're going to win. And again, every night, every day, I'm out there knocking doors, talking to people until we get it done.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate the time. Take care. Democrat of the day, Joe Persky, Senate District 13. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You don't have to be an expert camper to enjoy the Boundary Waters. Big Bear Lodge is your home away from home that still lets you experience the Northwoods in authentic and modern woodsy cabins. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the owners whose priority is your relaxation. Take in amazing sunsets, stargazing, and moose viewing near the Gunflint Trail. There are free use of canoes and kayaks, guided pontoon tours, and private docks and fire pits. So come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My family conquered the family vacation thanks to my Toyota Sienna. This last summer, I drove 16 straight hours in a single day, heading to the coast, a test which challenges even the most comfortable vehicles. The Sienna passed with flying colors. Roomy, comfortable, and easy to drive, it made the long day a piece of cake. And when driving in a new town, the Toyota Sienna gives me the comfort and reliability I need. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and much more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for AM 950 listeners. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. That's 651-447-4484.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, I do want to mention we are visible in multiple places today. You can catch us on the Facebook feed. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook. You can watch the show there. Twitter, we're now there. YouTube, we're now there. It's just magical. And for all the people who are watching me right now, once again, my salute to Dwayne Quam. Give me that phone. Give me that microphone. Give me it. Give me mine. Take it back. That dude's got some issues, man. That dude has got... Dwayne! By the way, Dwayne, I notice you're not saying too much, Dwayne. You're really proud of your... He said his nerves got the best of him. No, you were just a jerk to Jamie Malberg. So, yeah, just stop it. Just stop it. Speaking of just stopping it, story out of the Star Tribune. Minnesota State Representative is alleging that Representative Ilhan Omar misspent $3,000 in campaign money on personal travel. Republican Representative Steve Drazkowski is questioning Omar's campaign purchase of a plane ticket, Estonia, and another thing, basically. He's also made other allegations that she has misallotted money in the past. Drazkowski suggested the Omar campaign 2250 in payments to a law firm were for divorce proceedings. They actually proved that was not true. Needless to say, Drazkowski is going after this. I want to take a quick moment to talk about Steve Drazkowski, because I have followed this dude's career for a while now. My personal opinion of the guy, I just don't think he likes black people. And I don't know. I could be wrong. But he seems to be really eager to go after Ilhan Omar. And there have been, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Steve Drazkowski, Mr. Accountability, Steve Drazkowski could have, there are numerous Republicans who have been accused of misspending funds that he has never seems to investigate. And as a matter of fact, there are two cases in particular, because reminder, Drazkowski is furious about $3,000 here, which he says was used illegally. All right, then. How about I bring up two cases that I would like Drazkowski to explain why he never did get upset about it. The first was a fella called Rob Undersander. Do you remember him? He was the millionaire out of Waite Park who came down in gripping Republican House testimony. House testimony. So Representative Drazkowski's own body, the legislative body there. Undersander came down there as a Republican millionaire talking about how he was able, as a millionaire, to take, was it 17 months worth of food assistance for him and his millionaire wife? $6,000 of undeniable fraud, because I have had numerous people point out to me that Mr. Undersander can't just not cash out a 401k or retirement fund just so he, because it's inconvenient. And so if he's got 401k or retirement funds that are available to him, him not cashing those out while he takes state aid is actually illegal. And if he lied on his documentation to obtain this information and said that he didn't have this money, well, that's illegal too. So you could have this guy. This guy walked in with Republicans and admitted he stole. He stole $6,000 worth of food aid designed for the poorest of Minnesotans. And at no point has Steve Drazkowski, Mr. Law and Order, Mr. Johnny Accountability, not once has Drazkowski gone out there and said, you know, maybe we should actually look into that. Or even better yet, do you remember that Kurt Dowd, apparently, I'm trying to remember the details of this. He had like $12,000 worth of credit card debt, which was forgiven in an incredibly unique way. Basically, the same way that if you die and you have no family, that the credit card debt was forgiven that way. It's like only two people every year qualify for a credit card debt to be removed from this. The people that basically took care of removing that credit card debt for the Speaker of the Minnesota House was the law firm for the credit card company, who, by the way, also had a lobbying wing in St. Paul. And their entire defense was, well, wait a minute here. We're the law firm. That's a lobbying gig. There's no way in the world we could communicate with each other. Oh, sorry, I got to take this phone call. There's no way in the world we could communicate with each other. Those are two prime cases of fraud, Drazkowski. They're two prime cases involving white guys. And both of those people, white. Both of those people, at least on the very, I mean, the credit card stuff with Doubt, at the very least, is probably highly unethical. Whether or not it's illegal, I don't know. We should probably take a look at that, shouldn't we? But Undersander definitively was illegal. And Undersander stole $6,000, twice as much money as Ilhan Omar. But here's Ilhan Omar, a strong African-American Muslim woman, and Drazkowski has made it his goal to take her down. I'm going to get her. I'm going to get her. Dude, I think you might, I mean, this is, once again, I could be wrong. I could be wrong, Draz. But I think you might have an issue with the color of her skin far more than the money amount. Because if you truly do care about fraud and money, you should be going after Undersander and the Speaker of the House far harder than you should be going after Ilhan Omar, who, by the way, you've accused a few times and have been proven that she didn't do anything wrong. And the one time there was even a question, she paid that money back because she didn't want anyone thinking speaking fees were conflict of interest. So there you go. Draz, your ball's in your court. You start investigating Undersander, you start investigating Kurt Dowd, I'll lay off. But until you do, I'm not going to. And if you don't investigate Kurt Dowd, I hope that the Democratic leadership of the next House does investigate Kurt Dowd, because someone needs to ask him some questions. Brad, Gary, I'm not going to have time to get to your calls today because I've got Molly Beck. You can call back. I might have time at the end of the show. Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly will join us when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, I'll talk about the work of Reverend William Barber II, whose Moral Monday movement at the North Carolina State House helped to change the political landscape in that state. Then, the big interview will be with Nick Alm of MosierMN.org. He's a 22-year-old idealist who's working for LGBTQ rights in East Africa. What an inspiration. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by Hazel's Northeast, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic place for lunch. Try the fish fry. Also, the Greenway. Crispy falafel burger, red onion, jam, lettuce, tomato. Very nice. Very, very nice. Lots of great options. Lunch is fantastic there. The Cobb salad is also very tasty. Stop on in. They got the all-day breakfast as well. It is Hazel's Northeast, 29th and Johnson, Northeast Minneapolis, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Once again, two things I want to make sure I mention. We have tickets to give away to Seaver's Corn Maze, not today, but tomorrow, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets each of those days, so make sure you're listening over the next few days for your chance to win. And the good news is they are open extended hours on MEA weekend, which is next weekend. We'll talk about that as we get in towards the giveaways. Also, you can watch us in a numerous amount of ways. Like I said, it's a radio station, but apparently there's more video options for us nowadays. The Facebook page, the Twitter feed, both those AM 950 Radio. YouTube's on AM 950 Radio's page as well. There you can go watch the show. It's video explosion for you. I still think you guys are nuts. And what's with the Brett box in the corner here? The Brett box.
Oh, man. Don't get that trending or anything.
Well, the Brett box is
not. That sounds like something with Kavanaugh now.
I can look at the. I can see it. It's right over here. It's not on my camera, but I can see it. It's right there. The Brett box. That's where we punish the producers. You've been bad. Bad Brett. You're in the Brett box.
I'll shrink the box.
You can shrink the whole video thing. I think we'll all be happier that way. Molly Beck is the exceptional writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's been talking politics in Wisconsin for many, many years. With Stein taking a break this week, we decided to go check in with Molly about how things are going on with Wisconsin politics. Molly, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And I do want to ask this one question. You're in Madison still. You're still based out of there, right?
Right. Yep.
How bad was the flooding for you guys? I mean, my God, you for a while there just it did not stop raining.
Yeah, that's true. There was really, really bad flooding on the western part of Madison. And then, as maybe some of your listeners know, Madison is surrounded by two lakes, and there's an isthmus that is where most of the city lives, and the lakes were rising so high that there was a big fear that, you know, a very densely populated part of the city was going to be flooded, and it would have been very bad. There was, you know, we were monitoring that hour by hour for a while there, but I think we're out of the woods. Knock on wood. I hope so.
Well, I'd so too. I'm glad. It doesn't sound like anything bad specifically for you, though.
Right.
Good. God, that's good. You, of course, it's interesting. Wisconsin's a far more interesting battle state this time around, and I would peg it under two reasons, for because of two politicians specifically. In Minnesota, Eric Paulson's running, but I mean, really, he's not exactly one of those national superstar Republicans. I mean, he's had some tenure there, and he's definitely worked himself into the inner circles, but he's not really a national name. Scott Walker and Paul Ryan definitively are. And because of that, it seems as if the national spotlight is on Wisconsin more than it is on Minnesota.
Yeah, I think I felt that. I've worked in, I didn't cover politics there, but I worked in Minnesota. That was where my first job was. And I worked in Illinois, and now I'm working in Wisconsin. And I definitely feel that there's a lot bigger national spotlight here. And it does seem to be because of Governor Walker and Paul Ryan. Ranked Priebus is from here, the former White House chief of staff. So there's a, you know, with Paul Ryan leaving, and we'll see what happens in November with Governor Walker and with Ryan's Priebus leaving. I mean, some of that might lessen a little bit, but since I've been here, it's just been nonstop news, you know.
The governor's race, we'll start over there. Scott Walker has got a shocking, and considering this is the darling, one of the darling boys of the Republican Party, the fact that he is in basically a virtual tie with Tony Evers on the Democratic side, that's saying something. I mean, I'll start off by asking, is a Libertarian candidate there. Is that pulling enough votes away from Walker where this could end up being a situation where kind of a Ralph Nader situation where he ends up costing Walker the state?
And that's a good question. I'm not seeing that, but he's also, the Libertarian candidate is, you know, not getting no support. So we'll see how that shakes out on November, you know, how people feel about Governor Walker and whether they decide that they, you know, they don't want to support a Democrat, but they don't want to support him.
They have, the money has been pouring in. I was reading the story out of your paper about the money advantage the Republicans have had here. The last time we checked, Tony Evers was leading, I think, by 4 or 5 points. Now much more of a dead heat. They started off going after Evers on allegations of misconduct when he was with the schools. Is that still their main point of focus, or have they moved on to a new scandal of some sort?
No. So initially their main attack line against Tony Evers was that he did not revoke licenses of teachers who had engaged in sexual misconduct or looked at pornography at school. And obviously there, you know, there's a whole bunch of details to those cases that I can't get into here. But the Republicans seem to have moved on to a argument over taxes, and that's based on comments Tony Evers has made about wanting to make some changes to state taxes and possibly raise, you know, gas taxes to pay for road improvements and things like that. That's a comfortable message for Governor Walker. That's the kind of message he's always felt most comfortable with, is, you know, I'll hold the line on taxes. And it was a little surprising to me that he didn't start out with that message. And that may be because there's some polling out there that shows that people support, you know, paying more taxes if it means like going towards schools, for example. But there was a new poll from Marquette University here today that showed that people in Wisconsin do not want to raise the gas tax. So that might be why you see Governor Walker talking more about Tony Evers' willingness to raise the gas tax.
Are the Republicans, like most other Republicans nationwide, healthcare has been a nightmare issue for these Republicans. And frankly, it should be, because since 2010, they've been talking about repeal and replace. And 2016 was all about, we're going to give you better healthcare and it's going to cost you less. And they haven't delivered on any of that. And so, you know, one of the things that I, when I talk to Democrats around the state of Minnesota, I mean, it's, that's the issue, the number one issue coming out of voters' mouths is health care. Why haven't we gotten this fixed yet? Is that the same there? And is if that is the case, is that, you know, is, are they desperately trying to avoid that issue in Wisconsin, the Republicans?
I would say that that's a big issue here too, and both sides are talking about it. Obviously, the Democratic side, they're talking about Governor Walker and Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel's lawsuit against to overturn the Affordable Care Act, and they're specifically talking about how that would remove protections for pre-existing conditions. And in response to that, Governor Walker has made a part of his campaign to promise that he will, you know, do things to protect pre-existing conditions. He did, I believe earlier this year, call for legislation that would, you know, do that in the event that the lawsuit is successful, but it didn't pass. And so Democrats are criticizing him over saying that he will, you know, make sure these pre-existing conditions are protected, but there's really, there wasn't support in the legislature to do that with the last bill. So there's a question about how exactly are you going to do this? He's not offering another way now.
And Trump did the Republicans nationally no favors today with his, you know, there's not going to make exemptions for pre-existing condition stuff. I don't know how that's going to be able to sell across the state. I will say that one gift that the Trump administration did, and this, by the way, I think shows how much I think there is an importance on Scott Walker and Wisconsin staying within the Republican fold, is the concession that he got from the Canadians. I mean, basically NAFTA, this new version of NAFTA is basically the same old version of NAFTA. There's some minor copyright stuff as far as films and stuff like that. But really the two main points are Canada gets to import 800,000 more cars into the United States every year, but the United States gets to ship, it goes from 3.25% of Canadians' dairy products are American to 3.60, which is something which definitively is probably going to help Wisconsin. But at the same time, at the same time, some of those other tariffs on cranberries were not lifted, nor are the European Union or the Chinese tariffs lifted. Is that been a big boon for the Republicans, that that revised 3.25 to 3.60 increase of dairy products to Canada?
I saw Governor Walker tweet about that once, and I haven't heard anybody else talk about it since then. He did publicly thank the president for that because it does help the dairy industry here. But it has not been something that Republicans have been touting, at least from what I'm seeing, you know, we're not seeing anything, any comments about it. We're not getting pitched any stories about it. So.
Are the other issues, the other tariffs that went on cranberry specifically, which I know hit Wisconsin hard, have they been still holding the voting base's attention, or is it these ag issues, these tariff issues, kind of become secondary?
Right. It seems like the other tariffs, I haven't seen anything about that either. And I would think that the Democrats would be using that issue in campaign messages if it was resonating, or if they thought it would resonate. So I'm not sure why I haven't seen much of that, but it hasn't been on the forefront at all in this race.
Soybean farmers in Minnesota will concur that the DFL has been talking about how that's been hurting them directly. Let's move to a different race. You do not have an Amy Klobuchar who basically, I'm going to make the call right now. November, we're only 4 weeks away from the election, but Amy Klobuchar is going to win another six-year term. I can already tell you that. You have Tammy Baldwin up against Leah, is it Vuckner?
Vuckner.
Yeah. Vuckner, yep. She does have, the latest polling shows that Baldwin has a lead over Vuckner that is about 8 or 9 points. So it looks pretty substantial. Is that still holding true? Does Tammy look like she's doing pretty well in this race so far?
Yeah. The last poll, I believe it came out sometime last month, showed the same lead, and there was just another poll today that showed the same lead, exact same lead. So it's a substantial lead. It did the polling. Included questions that were posed before their first debate, which was on Monday. And a lot of people thought that Leah Vuckner performed a little bit better than Tammy Baldwin did in that debate. So it's unclear, you know, if the polling figures would be different if it had you know, if people had been asked about what they think after the debate. But the lead is so large that I don't think anybody would argue that, you know, Vukmir would overcome Tammy and above the margin of error.
It's definitely the Democrats. But let's go to the Ryan Senate, the Ryan House seat here. Randy Bryce is the Democrat. Steele, S-T-E-I-L?
Style
is the Republican down there. That race, it's been looking like the Democrats might pull off the shocker down there. I have seen, though, it looks like, just like I said, from up here, it does seem like there's been a massive influx of money into that race and to basically make sure the Republicans hold that race. Is that true? The Republicans, there definitely seems to be a very coordinated effort to basically make sure the Democrats do not win Paul Ryan's seat.
Yeah, there's a ton of money in that race. But there's also a ton of money on the side of the Democrats, too. So it's really that'll be an interesting race to watch in November. I think that'll be a lot closer than the U.S. Senate race between Tammy Baldwin and Leah Vukmir. And those are kind of the two congressional races that people are watching the most right now.
Am I fair to say that, okay, in Minnesota, definitely the anti-Trump sentiment has helped out the DFL here. Right now we're looking at the Minnesota House, looks like it will go broad. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, and there's a lot of, you still have to vote in these things. But it's, you know, it looks like the Republicans are going to have a hard time holding onto the House. Tim Walz is looking like he might be, right now he's the front runner to replace Governor Dayton. The DFL seems to be getting more of an uptick here than it just feels like it. It doesn't feel as if the Democrats in Wisconsin are getting as much momentum from the off-year election. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, but I would say that it's not a direct. There's an enthusiasm bump here for sure, but you don't see Democrats running against Trump in any of these races, and you know, they might mention it here and there, especially when they talk about Governor Walker and the tariff situation and Harley Davidson and how, you know, that they argue that he didn't stand up to Donald Trump's attacks on Harley Davidson, things like that, but. But by and large, you don't see the Democrats here running against Trump. And in the special elections that happened earlier this year that kind of created the narrative that there is a, you know, quote unquote blue wave coming, those races weren't running against Trump. And so while I think he's lurking around, you know, mm-hmm. the enthusiasm gap or the bump, but like I don't see it, you know, you don't see any overarching messages against Trump here.
Moving away from politics, one last quick thing. Kimberly Clark is a company that's based there in Wisconsin. And I know we were talked about Foxconn and that insane deal that Walker brought forward and looks like is blowing up in his face as far as development of jobs and money and investment by Foxconn into Wisconsin. But it looked like the Kimberly Clark, for lack of a better way to say it, is they were looking for their plateful as well. And am I crazy about that? They came kind of back and said, wait a minute here, we've been here, and where's our government, our investment bonus, that sort of thing. Is that a fair thing? Because it sounds like there's a debate going on right now as far as a incentive package for Kimberly Clark.
Right. So lawmakers earlier this year were debating legislation that would provide them with $100 million of incentives in exchange for keeping two plants in Wisconsin open. And the company had, you know, said that, you know, if we don't get this money, we're probably going to close at least one of them and move it down to Arkansas, I believe, is where they're looking at consolidating production. And that legislation didn't go anywhere and it stalled. And, being brought up again now, but it also doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere because there just doesn't seem to be any support from some Republicans in the Senate caucus. A couple of them have come out and said that, you know, while we supported the incentives for Foxconn because we feel like that development is once in a lifetime and it's much different than 600 jobs that Kimberly Clark is talking about. We don't think that we want to set up this system where companies just come to, you know, the state government and ask for money just to to stay open, especially companies that seem profitable.
Well, and you and I mentioned that the minute we talked about Foxconn the first time, that they were opening a door, Pandora's box on the handouts there, and it now looks like that has come to roost. Molly Beck, once again, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll post a bunch of her stories up online a little bit later on. Molly, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Litton's Party Value has moved 1 mile north. Getting to Litton's Party Value is easy. Google 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Litton's Party Value's new location has the same great fun, party, holiday celebration supplies. Visit our Halloween section for your Halloween party and decorations and costumes too. Litton's Party Value has the selection, the quantities, and the low warehouse pricing you love. Visit our new location, 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Yes, free parking, or shop online, partyvalue.com.
As we head into fall, get your vehicle service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com. They're fast, courteous, and they get the job done right. And considering my schedule, I trust them. Get your vehicle ready for the cooler weather with a trip to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and much more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for AM 950 listeners. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. That's 651-447-4484.
You don't have to be an expert camper to enjoy the Boundary Waters. Big Bear Lodge is your home away from home that still lets you experience the Northwoods in authentic and modern woodsy cabins. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the owners whose priority is your relaxation. Take in amazing sunsets, stargazing, and moose viewing near the Gunflint Trail. There are free use of canoes and kayaks, guided pontoon tours, and private docks and fire pits. So come find your smile at Big Bear Lodge. More at BigBearLodgeMN.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm dead serious. When you look at what's going on in Wisconsin, if the same mentality was here, I think Housley would have a very decent chance of knocking out Tina Smith. And, you know, I'm not saying that I don't think Jeff Johnson could overcome Tim Walz, but I think that it would be closer. And you know, I mean, it comes down to, and in my personal opinion, when you look at Wisconsin, what's going on over there is they've got two darlings of the Republican Party, and that is Scott Walker and Paul Ryan. Even though Paul Ryan's stepping away, Paul Ryan wants to have that seat stay in the Republican hands. So do the Republicans. They are poor. I mean, it is nasty over there, the stuff that they have gone after. And I'll tell you what, Wisconsin Democrats, if you're not going after these tariffs, if you're not going after this insane trade war that they went after your iconic company, Harley-Davidson, if you're not willing to go on out there and say, Trump has sucked for this country, well, you're not going to win. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to just start bad-mouthing all Republicans, but at the same time, don't be afraid to point out where the problem's coming from, because if you don't define it, the other side will, and usually they put a Democrat on the problem. And it's not. These are all Republican issues. At least have the guts to point that out. And guess what? Then you win. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.